Thank you for joining me this morning. Have you ever thought about just what kind of person would actually smuggle drugs and work for a real cartel? I mean, picture that person in your mind. Well, this morning, you're going to hear a story that I think is extremely hard to imagine. My guest is this clean-cut coach. He works with teenagers. His name is Travis Waters, and he has written a book on a story in his life called The West Coast Kid. And I wanted to share this story with you because it's not only shocking, but it will give you hope that kids can be rehabilitated. Good morning, Travis.
Good morning, Barbara. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm going to cut to the chase. I know that you were not always the bad boy that you became. So what led you down the path of evil?
Same thing that a lot of kids go through in life growing up. Influence, seeing other people with money, bags of money, coolers full of money, beautiful cars, girls, homes, and just being influenced and you're around the people you're around.
Okay,
so led me down the road.
How in the world did you get involved in smuggling drugs and working for a real cartel?
Being in the right place at the right time. Back in the 80s, 70s, and 80s, Everglades City down here in Naples, Florida, and Fort Myers, Florida, 10,000 Islands, that's where it was a smuggler's paradise. I had older friends and older family members smuggling. And when I was 14 years old, I started cleaning boats. The loads would come in, I'd clean the boats, and they would pay me to do that. And that's how it all started, and I got involved with it. When I got a little older, I threw away all my scholarships to go play basketball in college and wanted to have money one way or the other, and so I started smuggling and dealing drugs.
So did you ever take the drugs, or you just smuggled?
Oh, yeah, we partied. We'd had parties and stuff, yes.
Oh, my. Well, okay. So you smuggled. You worked for a cartel.
Yes.
You took drugs. What in the world made you straighten up?
Four life sentences and getting down to 23 years prison sentence, state and federal prison, and getting beaten and sexually assaulted in prison, in federal and state prison when I was a young age, you know, in my 20s, and spending most of my 20s in prison. That'll do it.
So how long?
I got my punishment.
And you learned you didn't want to do that again.
You know, yeah. Prison gangs would force me to play sports against new arrivals that would come into the prisons, and I would have to earn money for the gangs. And I was a white kid, and my high school rivals, Deion Sanders, and other gangs would force me to play against new arrivals for money, or they would rape me or stab me. That was my contract that I got. That was my contract. I didn't get a $1 million contract like Deion and all the other pro athletes got. I got bigger, faster, and stronger in prison.
Oh, and so they actually have gangs in prison?
Prison gangs, yes.
Well, why weren't you on their side?
Well, I would play for them, and then when the other gangs would find out that I played against Deion Sanders, they felt like they were cheated and lost their money because everything in there was about money. And then they would either beat me up, and then they would beat the gang up, start fighting gang fights because of they felt like they were cheated because of me.
So you
I was
were
a white
in,
kid.
You were in
kid.
Jail with Deion.
No, Deion Sanders he wasn't in jail. I played against him in high school. He was my high school rival.
Oh, he was your high school rival.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a star in Lee County, and I played down here in Carter County, and we were chasing the Southwest Florida scoring title. I was.
Wow. Okay. So how in the world did you, how long were you in prison, first of all?
I had 23 years. I served 6 years and 10 days. Then I had 4 years of parole.
Okay. So my brain has just left me. I had a really major question.
All right.
How did you stay away from the cartel? Why didn't they come back after you when you got out of jail?
Well, mainly because most of them are dead or was killed. A couple of them were killed, and other guys were in protective custody.
Okay.
Some of them died. I was young. They were 40s and 50s back in the 80s.
Yeah, and 23 years. I mean, 6 or 7 years later could make a difference.
Yes.
Okay, so now you have devoted yourself to working with teens.
Yes, I sponsor a bunch of teams. I coach basketball. And when you read my book, that was some of my dreams. If I make it out of here alive, I got to let kids know what's going to really happen to you in life. I came home, newspaper articles, did some articles on my life about my coach calling me, legendary coach calling me the school's first grade player, and me still holding the records. And that's when a lot of the news published companies called me to write a tell-all book, and that's how it all started, to help me spread my message. And I sponsor a bunch of teams. I give back to community. I coach, and it was a lifelong dream of mine. I wanted to, you know, be back to the way the Travis I used to be in high school.
Okay, so you actually have told these kids, they know everything about you. Their parents know everything. So do you think you have kept them off of drugs because you are so real and you've been there?
Yeah, the kids I coach are 10 to 12-year-olds. I also coach my son's team, but I sponsor a bunch of other teams. I do speaking engagements in high schools, treatment centers, court-order treatment centers, juvenile detention centers, youth co-op centers, youth co-op groups, foster care homes, my books in all those centers. My books, mandatory reads in a lot of the centers I just described.
So how lucky,
I do a lot of giving back and speaking.
How lucky are you that you were not addicted to the drugs?
Well, yeah, I agree with that because, you know, we just had so much of it. We just thought every day was the weekend, and we just partied all the time and never gave it a second thought. You know, it was part of the business.
And so where did most of these drugs come from that came into Florida?
I did my first 10,000-pound load when I was 18 years old from Columbia, and then we brought them into South Florida and Naples. And then after that, I started owning part of the loads, being a subcontractor. We were subcontractors. You have a 30,000-pound load, you pay me to bring it in, and I make my money by bringing it in and giving it to you. We're like subcontractors. Some of the big loads, 30,000, the load I got indicted on was about $15, $18 million street value.
And so how much did they pay you?
We would get $2 to $3 to $4 million for each load.
You're kidding me!
We'd have to divide that with, you know, the offloaders and radio men and people like that.
And so when you
went to... I wouldn't make all that. We'd split it, you know. But that's what they would pay us.
So when you
get it to Miami.
When you got caught, what were you doing?
When I got caught?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Did they just put out a sting to catch you?
Yeah, they were watching us for 3 or 4 years. The load we got indicted on, that's in the book. That they were watching us 3 or 4 years. They wanted Pablo Escobar, the main guy in Colombia, and the Miami drug gang and us on the East Coast and West Coast was the key to getting them. And the feds busted our load like it was a bust, but it was a ripoff and a bust. And we were responsible for that load, and I was actually kidnapped for that load, and they were going to throw me out of a plane and took me to a warehouse in Miami and electrocuted me to get the load back because we were responsible for it.
They electrocuted you?
Yeah.
Man,
and I want kids to know about all that.
Well, I guarantee you they will. And for those of you that want more information,